WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. As federal operations involving National Guard troops move forward in Chicago, state and local leaders file a lawsuit against the Trump administration, pushing back against what they've called an invasion, occupation, and martial law. But President Trump insists
we're going to make Chicago really great again, and we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities.
CBS's Usher Qureshi is outside an ICE facility in West Suburban Chicago.
Illinois and Chicago argue that the federal government is overstepping, calling the planned National Guard deployment unconstitutional and politically motivated. The lawsuit claims the president cannot use the military to occupy American cities simply because local leaders disagree with him. The filing cites states' rights, the Posse Comitatus Act, and the risk of escalating violence.
President Trump says if people were being killed and courts, governors, or mayors were holding up his administration's efforts, he would invoke the Insurrection Act. The latest dueling funding bills fail in the Senate, and the government shutdown now enters a second week. California's governor blames the shutdown for a lack of air traffic controllers at the Hollywood Burbank Airport, and CBS's Sarah Ploss reports.
Safety is the priority here, so when something like this happens, the FAA has to slow down the traffic in that area to account for this situation, to account for SoCalTRACON having to take over, which is why we're seeing those very lengthy delays.
Air traffic controllers still have to work during the shutdown, and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the lack of a government funding.
I want to make sure that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries know that this is not consequence free. There are issues that arise throughout America that impact our everyday lives, that can impact our safety.
The Justice Department's request to pause Kilmar Obrego Garcia's immigration case is denied by a federal judge. The government says it now wants to deport Obrego Garcia to Eswatini in Africa. His attorney, Simon Sandoval Motionberg.
We're going to have an evidentiary hearing in court on Friday, at which time we are going to ask the court to order his immediate release from custody.
With over 300 hikers already safe, crews are attempting to rescue the around 200 others still trapped by heavy snow at tourist campsites on Mount Everest in Tibet. This after a blizzard hit unexpectedly. CBS's Imtiaz Taieb reports.
A massive storm, uncommon this time of year, dumped at least 3 feet of snow over the weekend. Tents were crushed and trails were buried at an elevation of around 1,600 feet.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where it's game two of the National League Divisional Playoffs. The Brewers winning game one, 9-3. Jackson Chourio is playing tonight despite a scare with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
The MRI came back and it's inconclusive and it's not a serious hamstring strain.
The Brewers jumped out to a 6-1 lead in the first inning Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us, so. And it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
NBA, the Bucks are in Miami for a preseason game against the Heat. Giannis is now with the team after a bout with COVID.
He took a toll on my body. I'm not feeling 100% yet physically. Take it day by day, get back in shape.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. And highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday. Highs staying in the 60s. Right now it's 53.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom. Only, not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We want to thank everybody who took part in our multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest for the last 2 weeks. It was really a lot of fun, and we love seeing where everybody is all across the state of Wisconsin. We learned so much.
Well, and I think the fun thing about that is I feel that we found place. So this past summer, sorry, words are tough, and I'm trying to find emotions to feel what I'm feeling, Jane. No, this past year, you, Todd, and myself went up north. And one of the stops was in Butternut. And the reason why we went to Butternut is because people from Butternut were texting in
for the contest.
For the contest. Yes. It gives us ideas of where to go and visit. Because, you know, it's easy to go to those places that are very famous and popular and tourist destinations. They're all wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Love me some Hayward. Love me some Park Falls. But it also gives you the opportunity to hear about and then maybe visit these very small towns. And more importantly, talk to these individuals who live there, and what we find out. I mean, I personally felt the entire time we were there up north this summer was that these folks want the same things that we down in the city want. You strip away a lot of the rhetoric, a lot of the yelling, a lot of the headlines, and folks, if they voted for one person, they also want good schools. They is the same as we do. Like, there's a lot of connecting tissue there.
Absolutely.
And it comes from people who simply just enter into the contest, and we see a place and we're like, that's not a place.
Where's that place? Let's look at that place.
And then we find that place, and then we go to that place, and we place that place with people in the place. So that's a roundabout way of saying thank you for not only being a part of the contest, but also letting us know where you're from so we can probably be a part of it as well. It means a lot to us.
It really does. We love to come and visit. We really do. So some of our daily winners, and again, we were playing every day for the 2 weeks, up for grabs, $200 in cash and gold jewelry. Mm-hmm. Among those winners, we had David in Richland Center, who won, listening on WRCE. Lou Ann, who checked out WLAK in Amory, where Todd and I went a couple of years ago. And Angie from Hammond, listening to WSCM. So even if you're listening to one of our music stations, because Civic Media has a whole bunch of music stations across the state, you can be a winner too.
Yeah.
We are in the process of contacting grand prize winner who got those club level indoor seats to see Green Bay in Minnesota November 23rd at noon with a gas card. Once we get the winner contacted and all that stuff taken care of, we will announce the grand prize winner.
Yeah.
But if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app yet, we highly encourage you to do so, because that's the only way to play.
Yes, and if you don't have the app right now on your device, por qué? It is so customizable. It is so versatile. You can take us. We have gotten text message because here's the thing, folks. Words are tough today because I'm just so excited. When you download the free Civic Media app onto your device, you can call us through that app. You can text us through that app. You can leave a voice note from that app. Do you have to like us in order to leave a voice note? Absolutely not.
You don't.
We have heard from people who are not fans.
We do.
But you can contact us. You can also listen to us anywhere in the world. We've gotten text messages from Australia, New Zealand, Europe, East Brunswick, New Jersey. This is a app that you can take places, folks. And then also you can customize it to see the news that you want to get from the region where you live. It's just so versatile, so easy, and just like everything we do here, whether it's the contest or the app or the newsletter, civicmediatoday.substack.com, it's free.
Absolutely free.
Yes.
That's Greg's line. Oh. I know, that's Greg's line.
No, it's great. I'm loving it.
So again, thanks to everybody who took part. We hope you had as much fun with it as we did. Mm-hmm. It is National Banned Book Week. This is National Banned Book Week.
I feel like this is a national week we're going to get rid of. We're going to ban this one.
Well, we're going to ban National Book Banned Book Week, probably.
They do not want to certain people in certain parts of this country not big on remembering our history. Mm. I feel like one of the reasons why we have National Banned Book Week is because we want to never forget what we and other cultures around the world do to dissenting voices and maybe slowly getting rid of Banned Book Week is another way of saying, well, that's
let's just disappear.
It's not that. Hey, we were doing it for freedom and love and freedom and love. Patriotism.
Yeah. It is National Banned Book Week. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the Wisconsin chapter of Writers for Democratic Action, they're going to have a public panel at the Waukesha Public Library this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock at the Waukesha Public Library. Among their many panelists, Jackie Lydon, who has been on our show before, mm-hmm. She was a national anchor for NPR and also a journalist. Barry Whiteman will be there, also featuring writers and poets. Kathy Giorgio from Waukesha, graduate of Waukesha North.
Correct.
She was on their alumni wall of stars.
Yes.
Until they banned her book.
Well, they banned her book and she asked to be taken off the wall.
Yep.
I think that's a tremendous and feasible demand when you,
for her,
you get rid of the reason why they're proud of her.
Yeah. In 2023, this shocked me. Wisconsin was the second most banned book state in the U.S.
A question for the listeners right now. If you were to be asked that question on the state with the most banned books, and you said you got to name three.
What would be your top guess?
Honestly, and don't say it in retrospect or based on this anecdote. Really ask yourself that question. 2 years ago, you would have said, name the top three states, would Wisconsin be on your list?
I would have said Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
Mississippi, and probably Texas.
I would have said Texas. I would have said Kentucky. I probably would have thrown in Idaho. And that's not good of me or us to do. We shouldn't go assuming. There's plenty of evidence to show that states do ban books. But I guess for me, and I don't know, and Jane, I ask you this question. I want to hold on to this feeling that Wisconsin is still a bastion of good. We have so much history that's rooted in good, whether we're talking about union activity, whether we're talking about equal rights, whether we're talking about just trying to live a good life and be of service to our neighbors. When you hear things like that, I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me disappointed. But I still hold this hope that we're still good. The state's still good.
Absolutely, our state is still good. But it's about all of this stuff that is happening around us that we may not be aware of because there is so much happening. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're focusing on this right now. If you live in Waukesha, you live in the Waukesha area, maybe you want to check this out. Again, Wednesday night, October 8th. At the Waukesha Public Library, 7 o'clock, they're going to be talking about banned books. And another point that I think is important, data from 2025, so this year from the American Library Association, shows that most school book bans, over 70% of school book bans, come from organized partisan movements, mm-hmm. not from actual parents.
No. No.
It's not the parents whose kids are going to these schools. This is Moms for Liberty and other groups like that who have a very specific agenda, who are coming into school systems and starting this and making these efforts to ban books.
And the amount of times we've seen video or we've heard testimony from people who raise a book in the air and tell you how they dislike it. And then when they're held, their feet are held to the fire. Well, where did you come from? Like, how did you get this book? It was given to me. Have you read it? I haven't read it, but I just don't like the cover. I don't like what I've heard. I don't like anything. Well, okay. So let's break it down really quick. First of all, in a school library, yes, they can get rid of books that they deem are not right for children. I understand that. But there are also mechanisms in place where parents can talk to the libraries and say, my kids can't look at these books.
I don't want my children to access X.
Also, when we talk about public libraries, which actually, like, school libraries, that's one thing and that's another battle. But public libraries, it makes me even more sick to my stomach and nervous because parents can walk in. If you are a parent, you open up an account, you put your child on the account, you can go right in there and say, hey, what's my kid looking at? This doesn't have to involve the cops. It doesn't have to involve aldermen, Congress, anybody. It's your private life, your child. You walk in. We do not need Moms for Liberty invading a town and or trying to ban books from other states. This is not how we do things.
This isn't a grassroots effort. This is not a coming from the ground. Actual parents who are concerned about this, these are outside groups coming in with a very specific agenda to disappear things.
Yes.
Good heavens. And I'll have to double check if this is on the list in Wisconsin. But in a number of other states, they have banned the Diary of Anne Frank.
Oh, yeah.
The Diary of Anne Frank, people. Think about that. Why? They banned that book. That book.
Why? So I'm looking up right now. There is no official, as it says, there's no statewide official book, a list of banned books. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel back in 2023 had a story that I'm looking at right now. I'll even look it up here, but there's a very good reason why. They do not want to face history. And even though it's not our American history, it's one that we are tied to. Anything has to do with tragedy, injustice, mass genocides, we're talking about any of the, we do not want to remember, or no, let me rephrase that. We don't want to admit to. That is why the Smithsonian is disappearing articles, exhibits, and pieces on the enslavement of other humans, because this country will do everything it can to try to walk away from it, where in fact, maybe 100 years ago, if we would just faced it and done a little sunlight on as a disinfectant, we'd be in a much better place. But no, we'd rather just forget about it. And the Diary of Anne Frank, that makes my grandpa fought in the war. And yes, he fought for Germany. I don't want to have to deal with that. It's those books cause a level of discomfort to people in power, and they want to get rid of that discomfort. So they do what they can. They use their money and their influence, and they disappear them. And then they tell you that you're wrong for wanting it to be there in the first place.
Well, and don't forget, I mean, and I'm assuming that there are plenty of parents who are specifically buying banned books for their children to read, if that is the case in their schools. Stephen King, author Stephen King, is the one, when this discussion first started a couple of years ago, he said, you know, the best way to get kids to read books, ban them.
Yes.
Those are the ones they'll seek out.
It was the same thing when they, you know, I understand the point of the musical artists who were against the explicit labels on their records. They felt like it infringed on their free speech. I understand that argument, but there is something to be said that those labels ended up making record sales go up because kids saw them like, well, what's on that record?
I want.
Exactly. And Stephen King is a great example too. He is a man who self-banned his own book because he felt like it was poisoning the minds of the readers. A book called Rage that had to do with a shooting in a school, and they found that book in some people's lockers, in some people's possession, and he finally said, it's out of print forever, we're not bringing it back, there will be no movie about it, and he hasn't budged on it, and he, the author, said, I can do this, you can't do it to me.
We're talking about book bans and an event Wednesday night in Waukesha at the Waukesha Public Library. Stay with us. Ollie, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Ooh.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Banned Book Week in Wisconsin in 2023. Wisconsin was the second most banned book state in the U.S. That's according to Penn. That's not good. There is an event Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the Waukesha Public Library, where they're going to be talking about Banned Book Week. Ollie from the Northwoods has been waiting very patiently to join in this on this. Good morning, Ollie. What do you want to say?
Well, I just want to warn everybody about this banned book business. That was one of the first things that the Germans did that Hitler had ordered was the banning and burning of books.
Yep.
Huge, huge burnings.
Bonfires.
Yes. And we are, Anne Frank is a model for every one of us to be reading. What's happening to us now is what happened to them. The Hitler's regime went into people's homes, pulled them out, arrested them, harassed them, and those things are happening to us now. Everybody should be watching. If you can't read Diary of Anne Frank, watch the movie. Mm-hmm. Watch Schindler's List. Learn about what happened then, and see how it is happening to the United States now. And we need to be, to learn about that and to speak up.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Ollie. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Read the Diary of Anne Frank.
And it comes back to a discussion point we've had numerous times, and I'm going to keep harping on this. I don't want it to be until it happens, but it's going to affect you one day. And you know, let's take tariffs out of the equation. Let's take cost of living out of the equation. I'm talking about this kind of stuff, the overarching hand of the authority,
government
to say, you can't read this. You can't do this.
You can't write this.
You can't stay here. And eventually a knock on your door will happen. I don't care how Trump you think you are, how MAGA you think you are. And you're sitting here listening to me going, it'll never happen to me. I'm too MAGA. I'm too rich. I'm too white. I'm too male. It will someday not be good enough for them. You will not be good enough because you offer them nothing. And a knock will come on the door. I'm perfectly, perfectly aware that a knock may come at my door. Perfectly aware. But it may come at your door one day. And I want to know this. What book have we banned that is doing society better now? What book?
That's made it better since we banned it?
Correct. What book has been banned outright, unavailable to the reading public of America, that is now making us better? Because as far as I know, usually, and it's funny, actually, Calvin, it's funny that you played the Beatles, because the Beatles in 1965 were the focus of a record burning campaign because of something John Lennon said.
Oh, yes.
And the conservatives of this country went absolutely insane. And they said, that's fine for us. They rebought our records. But the thing is that this country isn't better because we tried to get rid of the Beatles. We're not better because we want to ban Anne Frank. We're not better because we want to make sure our kids can't read books that we might not like. It's better that they learn. It's better that we understand. And by having banned Book Week, we keep in our hearts the history of the fact that we had leaders who said no, and we said, no, thank you.
What happened to knowledge is power?
Knowledge?
That's what I was taught growing up. Knowledge is power. The more you know, the better off you are.
And that's threatening.
And that means knowing all of history, even including the bad, icky parts.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is power.
It brings you something. It brings a reader. It's like traveling, Jane. You know this.
Opens the world.
It opens the world to you. It allows you to take in other ideas and other people's experience. It brings something that scares the living bejesus out of these people, which is nuance. The moment you introduce nuance into the conversation, they go insane because they want it to be good, evil, bad, good, patriot, traitor. There's no room
There's no gray.
There's no gray whatsoever. Because the moment you do that, it messes with everything they believe in. And more importantly, everything they're trying to get their followers to believe.
This event, again, going to happen Wednesday night at the Waukesha Public Library at 7 p.m. They're going to have a panel with banned book authors, including Kathy Giorgio, who is from Waukesha, Jim Landwehr from Wales, Mary Wimmer from Wales, journalist and activist John Norcross from Oconomowoc, and also Jackie Lydon is going to be there, a past NPR national anchor and journalist. So check that out if you're in the Waukesha area Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at the Waukesha Public Library. Go buy some banned books.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Give them to your neighbors and pass them around.
Yes.
Loan them out.
Yep.
That might be a good thing for everybody to do.
Have yourself a banned book club.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. The first one, Charlotte's Web. Who knew? All right.
We have news coming up next. And then, as we always do, we're going to take a breath and lighten it up and have a little audio sorbet. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Illinois and Chicago are suing to try to stop the deployment of hundreds of National Guardsmen to Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Donald Trump's deranged depiction of Chicago as a hellhole, a war zone, and the worst and most dangerous city in the world was just complete BS.
President Trump says he could use a law that gives him the power to send in troops to suppress a violent rebellion.
We have an insurrection act for a reason. If I had to enact it, I'd do that.
A shortage of air traffic controllers has forced the closure of the airport in Burbank, California.
That's closed. Everything in the tower is closed. You have to call the 800 line.
The sound from liveatc.net. Efforts are underway to rescue about 200 hikers trapped by heavy snow on Mount Everest after an unexpected blizzard. CBS's Imtiaz Taieb.
One of them told our partners at the BBC, despite having visited the Himalayas more than a dozen times, he had never experienced such extreme weather.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where it's game two of the National League Divisional Playoffs. The Brewers winning game one, 9-3. Jackson Chourio is playing tonight despite a scare with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
The MRI came back and it's inconclusive and it's not a serious hamstring strain.
The Brewers jumped out to a 6-1 lead in the first inning Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, the game got away from us early, so it's not like it did, right? It got away from us, so... And it's a loss, and you move on from it quickly. There's no penalty. It's one loss. Doesn't count for more how you lose. We didn't lose well, but we lost, and you move on. That's how the clubhouse felt.
NBA, the Bucks are in Miami for a preseason game against the Heat. Giannis is now with the team after a bout with COVID.
He took a toll on my body. I'm not feeling 100% yet physically. Take it day by day. Get back in shape.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight, even when something might seem harmless, like doing wind sprints behind a bar at 12:30 a.m. Former Jets quarterback and Fox News analyst Mark Sanchez was doing just that after several drinks, apparently, early Saturday morning. It led to a physical altercation with a much older man, which is still under investigation. It was first reported that Sanchez was in critical condition with stab wounds, but now it's come out that he might have been the instigator of the incident that involved a 69-year-old grease truck driver. According to security tapes, both men, despite getting physical, were trying to record each other with their phones. Authorities say Sanchez body slammed the man to the ground and beat him up a bit before being stabbed two or three times, at which point Sanchez ran off. Mark Sanchez was arrested while recovering in the hospital, but has since been released. More details are sure to follow with this strange incident. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. And highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday. Highs staying in the 60s. Right now it's 53.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hey, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, we will wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Can You Dig It edition. Calvin found it. It's good. It's kind of historical for me. There's a family tie to this story for me.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, okay. You know, family tie.
Family tie.
Yes. I would not part of your family.
Well, no, but
my last name is Bach.
All right. And we have Brewers coming up later on today.
Yep. Game two.
Game one, we won.
We won handily and was wonderful.
It was a good thing.
Yep.
It was a 9-3.
9-3.
It's pretty great. Tonight, game two of the NLDS, Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast will start tonight at 7:30. Mm-hmm. You cannot listen on the stream. You have to listen to actual radio, terrestrial radio.
Yeah.
So listen to the game. Again, our coverage starting at 7:30 on WRCE in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH, Good Morning Hayward and Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. The crew hosting the Cubs tonight. Our broadcast starts 7:30. I think the first pitch goes out about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And if you are going to be traveling along I-94 south.
God help you.
South and north from Milwaukee to Chicago, expect lots of company.
Yeah, I'm oh, no. No, I should be good.
You're going to be all right?
I'll be in Milwaukee tonight, but I'll be along the lakefront for the start of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival.
That's right.
Which unofficially kicks off with the roast of Milwaukee tonight, the Cooperage, which I think is like the 8th or 9th annual now.
And our friend Kristen Bry.
Our friend Kristen Bry will be hosting the event, as well as having wonderful comedians from the city giving loving but ribbing tributes to the city that be and the surrounding areas. So you want to come out 7:30. It's at the Cooperage. You can find tickets at mkecomedyfest.com.
Should be a lot of
put
fun.
Put on by the Milwaukee Record. And then we have events going through the rest of the week, and we'll talk more about that. But we have shows every single night, multiple shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amazing headliners. Punky Johnson from SNL, Aparna Nansherla, who's been on movies, TVs, author, Sean Patton, whose new show English Teachers premiered second season on FX, and Patton Oswalt.
That's a big guest.
If I get to meet him, it's gonna be difficult.
He's gonna plot. Yes.
I'm verklempt.
It will include a link into to the Milwaukee Comedy Festival.
Correct.
In our show notes. Yeah. So check that out. You can find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Go to the top, click on shows, go to Matinair on Air, and then there's archive shows there with
2 months.
2 months with the great notes that Greg puts together with all the links that you need for things that we've talked about in the show and articles and all such things. All right. This is the portion of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath, get away from the news, talk about something silly.
Audio Sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
I want that on a pillow. It's Audio Sorbet, and today our Audio Sorbet is, how do you alarm?
Yeah.
How do you wake up in the morning? 855-752-4842. Do you have an old radio clock alarm? Is it maybe you have a fancy schmancy Apple Watch? Maybe it's just your phone. Maybe you don't use an alarm. Many years ago, I dated a guy, wonderful man, who never set an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And he was never late for anything. And he said, before I go to sleep, I think of the time I need to be up, and then I just wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I would be late for everything.
Oh, awesome.
I would not Could you do that?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant you didn't do that, therefore you were late. Okay, so...
Could you just go to sleep and say, I'm going to wake myself up tomorrow at 5:30?
No, not at all. In fact, no, not at all. I get... When I used to do Pat's show, I had to be here by no later than really 5:30, 5:35. But I would still be rushing. So I like to get here like 5:15, just so I had some time to space out, to get comfy, do the things I needed to do.
Get a cup of coffee.
Exactly. 2-3 cups of coffee. I set alarms. I have an alarm on my phone that goes directly to my watch. I wear my watch while I sleep. And almost inevitably... I will wake up before my alarm goes out. I will sometimes wake up and then fall back to sleep, and then it will wake me up. But most times, especially during the week for work, I wake up 5, 10, 20 minutes before the alarm
goes
off.
You do?
Yes. But that would never tempt me to go alarmless, because I know the one time. Now, luckily now, there's no chance I'm sleeping until 9 o'clock anymore, unless I go to bed, say, like 5 o'clock in the morning.
You're just going
to
wake up.
But for our show, I don't have to be here at 7. If I'm 15 minutes late, it's going to be fine. But still, I'm not tempting the demons of fate. I have to have an alarm, even if I wake up before that, because I just can't. And I don't know how you feel about this. When you have, say, like a flight, or you must be up to do something, do you sleep well at all that night?
No.
Nope.
No.
Never.
Yeah. No. You toss and you turn and you look at the clock every 2 hours, right? And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Now I have to get up in 3 hours. Now I have to get up in 2 hours. How do you alarm? 855-752-4842. Do you have an alarm clock? Do you use your phone? Do you have a fancy schmancy Apple Watch that wakes you up? Maybe you just wake up.
Maybe you have that internal alarm clock.
Yeah, that internal clock, which is, that's really quite something. 855-75-CIVIC. Linda from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Linda. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Good morning.
I wake up to Civic Media, Pat Greenlow, every morning, Monday through Friday.
That's fabulous. So you use a radio alarm.
The check's in the mail.
I use a radio and I set it to the, you know, the music thing.
Yeah.
And Pat Greenlow every morning. And then on Sunday mornings, I'm in Eau Claire, and Sunday mornings they have that fabulous old-time music.
Yes.
Music of the stars.
Music of the stars.
Yes.
Well, that's great, Linda. Really, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Well, we'll pass that along to Pat. He's going to join us tomorrow.
And honestly, like Civic Media overlords, bosses, and people I really respect, are you listening? We didn't even ask for that. Plugging the great programs of Civic Media right here on Matt and Air on Air, 9 to 11, Monday through Friday on Civic Media.
855-752-4842. How do you alarm? We just heard from Linda. She actually lists clock radio. Love that.
The dulcet tones of
Patrick. Brett in Brown Deer texting in, listening on WAUK. I have always had a clock in my head. Even in the Army, I was never late because I can wake up anytime I decide. It has never failed me. I applaud you, Brett. That's a skill I don't have.
See, the thing is, I wish I could wake up. I feel like I do, to a certain degree, have what Brett has. I just haven't. I feel like the military would definitely hone that. The question I have for Brett, it's Brett, correct?
It's Brett.
The question I have for Brett is, when you do wake up at the right time, do you still wake up in what feels like a waking nightmare and go, I'm late? And you're not late at all? Especially on, like, say, yesterday when I woke up thinking I was late. It was Sunday morning. I had nowhere to go.
And did you think you were late for work?
Oh, yeah. I was like, what's going on today? What do I have to do? Oh, it's Sunday. I have to do nothing today but watch Simon and Simon and pet my dog.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. How do you alarm? Mark in Jefferson, listening on WAUK, says Alexa is the one that wakes me
up.
There
you go.
Megan in Sun Prairie on WMDX. I use my phone alarm on weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
No alarm for weekends, but I always wake up within an hour of my usual alarm clock time anyway, which is super annoying.
I'm the same. So I have an alarm that goes off Monday through Friday. No alarms on Saturdays and Sundays unless we have to. And Bridget will always tell me, oh, I thought she would have slept in. And I'm getting out of bed. I'm getting out of the bedroom around like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm like, that was sleeping in. Like, I am so used to between my old days of 4:30, 4:15 getting up and now getting up at 6 a.m. For me, if I sleep until 7:38, I feel like I am luxurious in life and paradise.
Yeah.
Just so, yeah, I don't sleep, quote, in. I don't, it's not like I walk out of the bedroom and they're like, good afternoon. That never happens. Plus, I'd feel so guilty if I did.
How do you alarm? 855-752-4842. Calvin, what about you? Because there was a period of time when you were pulling some pretty early shifts, too.
Yeah, so I get up with an alarm. I'm a big fan of the snooze button. I also live at home with my parents, and usually my mom also peeks her head in my room and says, hey, get up, as my alarm's going off three times.
So do you snooze two or three times?
Yeah, my alarm starts going off at 6:30, and I usually don't get out of bed till 10 to 7.
Okay. My alarm goes off at 6, and I'm usually like, I might hit that snoozer once. I can't do, if I do it a second time, then all of a sudden it's almost 6:30 and then I'm like, oh
yeah.
And then also the dog just is also a fantastic alarm clock.
Well,
who has brute strength and can knock doors down and just run onto my face.
It's time to get up. Yep. Dad.
Play with me.
855-752-4842. How do you alarm? Kirk from Eau Claire listening on WCFW. My alarm clock radio goes off at 5:30, but our 14-year-old dog, who recently lost her hearing, comes down the hardwood floor hallway to her bedroom and wakes me up between 5 and 5:30 to go outside. Yep. Yeah, the pet is a pretty regular alarm clock.
Yeah, she's great.
Maybelle?
Oh, yeah. It's wake you up. Well, I mean, yeah, I just, she's so adorable. I love her so much. Brett got back to us. He said, and my question was, your internal alarm clock allows you to wake up at the same time or when you need to. He does not have the same problem I do, where no matter what happens, I wake up in a rushed, nightmarish scream to say, what have I missed? What have I done? And then there is not a problem whatsoever. In fact, I've woken up 20 minutes before I needed to get up.
Wow. That's amazing.
The CPAP has been wonderful, Jane, but I still sleep not.
You're a light sleeper.
Yeah, I toss and I turn, but I'm not falling asleep during my drive home anymore. So that's great.
We're going to talk more about CPAPs.
Yeah,
and we can do that. Because you and Pat Kreitlow now are both using CPAP and have had really good things to say about it.
It's a world of difference that I didn't think was possible. I didn't realize that I had, I didn't realize how much of a problem it was. I felt like everyone was as tired as I was because I'm not special. So, yeah,
it's been a good thing.
Yeah,
it's been a very good thing. Well, however you alarm, we are very happy to have you along with us. When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Can You Dig It, Baby Edition?
Oh, baby, yeah.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines.
Airlines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender Podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball coming up later on today. Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast starts at 7:30. You can catch it on several Civic Media stations, but you have to listen on terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Racine Kenosha area, you can listen to the game on WRJN 99.9 FM, 1400 AM in Racine and Kenosha. Crew hosting the Cubs, our broadcast starts at 7:30. First pitch goes out, I think, about 8 o'clock.
I think it's 8:05.
It's going to be a late game.
I'll look it up right now so we can get the
full. Be specific about it.
Dear Google.
Yes. So we will let you know in just a second. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us after 9:30. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, is going to be here. We haven't talked to her in way too long.
Two things. It starts at 8:08 tonight, p.m. That's when the game starts.
Okay.
I love Pam
Yonke. She's fabulous.
And really quick, Sholly Pittman was talking about immigration and whatnot, and as far as like going to farms. Hans Breitenmoser, who is a frequent guest on Pat's show, is a dairy farmer. Darren Von Ruden is a dairy farmer. And Pam Yonke, we don't generally get into politics, but they can all speak volumes on what's happening right now.
Absolutely.
So I love having our farming resources here at Civic Media. You can also download the Midwest Farm Report as a podcast and get the great updates you need by you doing should. That.
And Terry Barr is going to be here. Civic Media's genie of just about everything.
That lady.
She is. She's amazing. And Terry's going to join us for a little slice of Wisconsin for tomorrow's audio sorbet. So that is all on the way. I hope you can join us tomorrow starting at 9 o'clock. Right now, Calvin, getting approaching 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this on Vice. Ashley Fike has the byline. Headline reads, Inside Hungary's Grave Digging World Championship Competition. My father was a mortician. Hungary has a sporting event that few countries could imagine hosting. The International Grave Digging Championships.
I feel like this whole segment's just become weird, dumb contests from around the world.
It's in a big umbrella. Yes. Tisbet is a big umbrella. The 8th edition of this event happened last month, bringing together professional cemetery workers to see who could dig and refill a grave the fastest while keeping it neat and tidy.
You are in a level of enjoyment right now that I've never seen. It's just ridiculous.
Each team of two faced the same task. Dig a grave measuring about 6.5 feet by about 2.5 feet by just over 5 feet deep. And then replace it with 2.5 tons of dirt. The teams are scored on speed, accuracy, and presentation. Clean edges and a tidy burial mound carry almost as much weight as finishing quickly. You want it to be neat. This year's championships, champions Laszlo Kiss and Robert Nagy of Hungary defending their title with a time of 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 20 seconds. The pair credit their win to habits built in their daily work rather than any special training. At the other end of the scoreboard, a Russian team from Novosibirsk Crematorium. They blame the hot weather for coming in last.
Sounds like a bunch of losers to me. Losers can't accepting their loserdom.
First held in 2016, the championship's only been interrupted once by the COVID pandemic. Hungary's Association of Cemetery Operators created it not just for spectacle, but to honor a profession that usually goes unseen.
I mean, I got nothing to say here. Really, I'm speechless. I just think it's very funny that in Victor Orban's country, there is a grave digging.
Oh, I think it fits perfectly in Victor Orban's Hungary.
He's drafting on
he's betting on this. Are you kidding me?
I love the way you dig grave. That's not a person from Hungary. So very, I just don't know that accent.
It's so very neat. The edges are clean.
The edges, the soil is so beautiful.
Beyond the spectacle, this acts as a reminder the most basic task in death care, the literal digging, still relies on people.
Yeah.
The event closes out with medals and trophies, symbols that mean more than the hardware itself because they recognize the skill and endurance in a profession most people never consider.
Does that mean if you win this contest, you get to charge people more money when if they get your services? Like, I don't care how fast you dig.
Wouldn't you advertise that?
I guess, but also does that really bring we want the best people who dig graves? I don't know a Hungarian accent, I'm sorry, but it's just, I don't know how you advertise this into money for your company. You know what I mean?
I do. There's a marketer out there somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure this was also on DraftKings.
Our edges are cleaner than anybody else. That's all you need. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
I love how much you love this. I love how much you... Do you think your father would have loved something like this?
I think he would have appreciated this.
Yeah, he had a little pennant that says... Go kiss.
Go gravediggers of America. Yeah. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It all means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have Tom Hartman coming up right after the news on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The number of air traffic controllers calling out sick has increased slightly as the government shutdown continues. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says they have to work even if they aren't getting paid.
These air traffic controllers, they're critical infrastructure. They're critical to the operation of the federal government. So they're required to show up for work.
So many controllers at the Burbank, California airport called out sick that no planes are landing or taking off. Here's CBS News transportation reporter Sarah Ploss.
Air traffic controllers for the Burbank Tower have called out sick, have called out from their shift. Now, NATCA, which is the union representing air traffic controllers, said in a statement that a few air traffic controllers can call out sick on any given day. This is the latest example of how fragile our aviation system is.
The FAA is also reporting delays at the Newark and Denver